This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a football Sunday in Atlanta, where today Michael Penix makes his debut as the starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons and New York Giants, 3 hours to kick off. John Fricke and our Falcons insider Joe Patrick at outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium, trying to stay warm as we can on this chilly day and getting ready for this big game and the debut of Penix in a red helmet today. Yeah. Falcons will be in their real helmets today, so we'll see how this kind of all plays out. Let's get you caught up on the injury report. The injury report is brought to you by Fireshire. From the W Sauce, bigger, better, bolder, now spicier. Visit the WSauce.com to find a Fireshire retailer near you. And Joe, you get a go. Tell me what's up.
Yeah, not a lot going on for the Falcons today, which is kind of nice. Injury-wise, Kadarryl Hodge is going to be questionable with a rib injury, but he got two limited practices in this week, so you would hope that he'd be ready to go. Casey Washington's the only guy who's going to be out this week, still dealing with some concussion issues from one that he actually suffered a while back in that Denver game when Michael Penix was throwing him a deep ball. He dove out for it and banged his head against the ground, has been in and out with concussion since then. And then Lorenzo Carter, also questionable going into this game, got in two limited practices on Thursday and Friday after missing on Wednesday, so that could potentially track to him playing. For the Giants, they've got a longer list of guys who are going to be out or questionable, but I think a lot of these guys are going to play. Brian Burns is listed as questionable. He did not practice Wednesday or Thursday, but did get a limited in Friday. I would love to see him not play against Caleb McGarry after what we saw last year against Carolina. But I kind of expect him to play. Patrick Johnson, Bobby Okereke, Aaron Stinney, all out for the Giants, as well as Greg Stroman, who's questionable. He's doubtful. He's most likely going to miss. And then some other guys who are questionable technically, but I expect to play for the Giants. Deontay Banks, their cornerback with a rib injury. Tyrone Tracy, the standout running back this year. Aaron Schlottman and Deontay Johnson, all likely going to play. They practice enough this week, but their list is questionable.
All right, so the Giants for a long time, and this is bad on me, I probably should have checked the stats. For a long time this season, the Giants led the NFL in sacks, and that was due to the fact that you had Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns. I mean, you had this incredible attack, but now Dexter Lawrence out for the year, Aziz Ojulari out for the year. So you still have Kayvon Thibodeau, and you still have Brian Burns.
Yep.
That foursome was a fearsome foursome.
Oh, yeah. That's some impressive talent they've amassed there in that position.
Right. So Thibodeau's still there. So today we expect that maybe, I know we're just guessing here as to what Zach Robinson's going to do, but we expect more of Charlie Werner in kind of a right tackle plus position, you think?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. You do wonder if you stick a tackle like next to McGarry, like we saw against the Steelers, if that just kind of widens out that playmaking edge player to make it harder for McGarry. I don't know if you remember when T.J. Watt was kind of just able to get by Pitts.
He was lining out covering wide receivers.
Yeah, and then McGarry didn't really have a chance to get out to put hands on him because he had that tight end that was kind of almost in the way. So I don't know if it's actually going to be Warner every time, or maybe they use Bijan, you know, chipping and just like kind of gearing their protection to kind of slide out to that right side to help protect that blind side. But certainly that will be something that no doubt Zach Robinson will be taking into account today.
Yeah, I can see where they would run Bijan and Tyler to the right, and either that or play action into a protection for Bijan and Tyler to be that extra person to make sure they chip off that right side.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, I can see where those guys are going right, whether they get the ball or whether they're blocking.
Yeah. And I'm interested to see today how much of this pistol they stick with. Mm-hmm. I think they will stick with it to a great extent because it seems like just the offense that's been installed here for this year with Zach Robinson coming in with Kirk Cousins. But you do wonder if they'll be able to do some more stuff from under center that could help activate this kind of play-action game, and or just in regular shotgun to get the sidecar with Bijan or Tyler Algier on that right side to help, again, protect that blind side.
Well, we hope to have a playoff game for the first time ever for the Falcons if they can win out and get some help at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We do know we're getting two more college playoff games, including the Peach Bowl coming up between Texas and Arizona State on New Year's Day at Mercedes-Benz. And, of course, the first ever 12-team national championship game will be at MBS. We are now set for the quarterfinals. Not really a great start. I mean, it was fun to watch all the home games, but none of the games were any good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were good to me.
Well, because you're an Ohio State fan.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, the games were duds. They weren't very competitive. But I got to say, just seeing the home field environment in all those games was so cool to see. To me, it seemed like the best home field environment that any of those teams had basically all year, because these fans were so geared up for these big playoff games. And, you know, this is kind of a field from the actual action on the field, John. But I got to say, I think that this college football playoff is going to unlock, like, a fan experience, a traveling fan experience that, like, has not really existed in this country before. Because I think just seeing how many Tennessee fans were in Ohio Stadium 40, last night.
40,000, they said.
I mean, even I'm an Ohio State fan, but I still thought that was really cool to see that many fans in an opposing fan stadium. And I think when you get these big matchups in the many years to come that we'll have these blue blood programs playing against each other, it's going to be really fun to see those fans kind of pack each other's stadiums out more than they normally would for a regular game.
All right, so let's just kind of jump to, you know, it's not this coming weekend, it's the, you know, the middle of the week, you know, so we're about 10 days away because it's New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. So New Year's Eve, you're going to have Penn State and Boise State, and they're going to be knocking heads at the Fiesta Bowl in Tempe. Penn State looked pretty good, I have to say. How much of that was due to the fact that SMU kept throwing them the ball?
Right, right. You know? Yeah, oh my goodness. Yeah.
You know, so, and Ashton Jenny, if we think that he's, you know, Derrick Henry, well, he's different running back, but if we think he's Saquon, if he's that kind of, you know, if he's that kind of guy, this could be a really interesting game between Penn State and Boise State.
Yeah, it could. I mean, it's hard to really predict. I mean, I haven't actually watched a lot of Boise State. You know, you keep up with the box scores and you see some of the highlights, obviously, of Jenty and his Heisman campaign. But yeah, it will certainly be an interesting test. And, you know, I can't like pin down Penn State. I just don't – like, they really actually impressed me in that Big Ten championship game against Oregon, the way that they were able to hang with them for as long as they did offensively. But then, like, the defense just fell apart in that game, and I thought that, you know, Penn State kind of is a defense-first kind of football team. So it'll be interesting to see how they deal with Boise.
Well, that'll be a New Year's Eve game, the New Year's Day, a triple-header, and we'll get Texas and Arizona State in a 1 o'clock kick here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I don't know what to expect from Arizona State. They were red hot at the end of the year, but I thought we saw a Texas team against Clemson that looked pretty darn good.
They did. And they let, obviously, Clemson get back into it in that second half. But, you know, I think Texas basically did exactly what you thought they would do in that game and kind of looked the way that, I thought they would look against a Clemson team. They showed it.
The Rose Bowl gets the premier. Yes, I mean, the rematch of Ohio State and Oregon, that Oregon won 35-32 in the regular season. You know, old school Pac-12, and of course, you know, Big Ten. So it's going to really feel like a kind of a Rose Bowl here. This is a really tough game. What do you expect? You're an Ohio State fan. Yeah. Tell me.
Well, I feel like Ohio State's gotten their mojo back, especially Will Howard in that offense.
He played well.
To me, I was scared about Will Howard because I saw him in that Michigan game. I saw a scared look in his eye at the end of the game. I hate to say it because I really do not like that other team that they were playing that day. But I saw fear in his eyes, and I did not see it. This Tennessee game was totally different. It sounds like there was a lot of hashing it out, player to player, coaches as well. But a lot of, you know, issues, I think, almost psychologically for them to sort out. And but they got through it. He looked great. You know, throw it to Jeremiah Smith as much as you can. If you get him in a one-on-one situation, just throw the ball up, and he's probably going to come down with it. It feels like this Ohio State offense has kind of got something back, and hopefully, well, I hope that can carry them to a win over Oregon, but it should be a great game nonetheless.
Then the capper in the Sugar Bowl down in the swamp with Georgia and a huge throng of Georgia fans going down there. For that match against Notre Dame. Notre Dame looks solid against Indiana. It'll be really an interesting game. Riley Leonard against Gunnar Stockton. And how does Gunnar Stockton
fare?
I mean, I made this point here that it could be, we've seen at times in college football Travis Knight had to be rushed in as starting quarterback at Oklahoma, goes up, plays Alabama in a bowl game, and is just lights out in a Sugar Bowl game against – I mean, lights out.
Yep.
And then you had Cardale Jones.
Cardale Jones, yeah.
Cardale Jones. Get my guys mixed up here. They're at Ohio State. So, what, Braxton Miller went down, J.T. Barrett went down. Was that about it?
Yep.
And he has to take over in the Big Ten title game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then he
wins like
that.
60-0 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and then over Wisconsin. And then they go into the playoffs. And he is lights out for three games. And everybody's saying, oh, my God, he's going to be the greatest NFL quarterback. Where have you been hiding this guy?
Well, you know, the great thing about Urban Meyer offense is it's about three plays. That's at least how it feels. I'm sure it's more, but it's like with Cardale Jones, he was either basically throwing it deep, handing it off to Ezekiel Elliott, or running it himself. And they were basically, and that was kind of like the Cam Newton offense at Auburn. It's like, if you can do those things, if you can just pick up guaranteed 3 yards every single play, then your offense is going to be pretty good, and it's going to open up things for you downfield. So,
but anyway, the point is that Gunnar Stockton, who knows what you're going to get.
Right.
I mean, with Gunnar Stockton, he's
certainly willing to put his body on the line in that championship game.
He may be in – you say what you like about Carson Beck, and there's talk and chatter about whether Carson Beck's going to have, you know, surgery on his, you know, Tommy John surgery. And if he ends up having Tommy John surgery, will he be back next year in college football? The answer is probably – but he won't be at Georgia. He'll probably transfer.
Mm.
You know, he'll go into the portal.
Doesn't make sense for Georgia to continue with that.
Yeah, it's just time to move on.
Yeah.
And here's sort of like Michael Penix, Gunnar Stockton. Here's next. And we'll see. Because if Gunnar Stockton goes down there, I do still like Georgia's chances in this game against Notre Dame. I still think that even with Gunnar Stockton, one thing is true about Georgia that I think that exists above all other teams in college football. When they are on their A game, Georgia's the best team in the nation. Even better than Oregon, in my opinion, because I think Oregon's defense is mid.
Yeah, it is. It is. Their offense is really good. Oregon's
their offense is great, but their defense is mid.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, it's interesting. I was actually just looking. The opening line right now is Georgia's -1.5 favorites over Notre Dame. That's pretty close. It's also fun that these teams...
Oh, no, it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, yeah. These teams have some recent history, too. They were playing in the regular season here, what, a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, Georgia and Notre Dame, so...
Up there where Georgia take over up there in South
Yeah, Bay. Exactly. And this is another classic, like, you know, I know this is not going to happen because this is a bowl game, but, you know, if this matchup were to have happened this past weekend, like, how fun would that have been to see, like, you know, Georgia fans either going up to Notre Dame or something like that? Like, I think, like, this is going to be an annual thing, and I think that we're going to get more of these teams playing these opening round games, having this home game. We were talking about ways they might reformat this playoff and do it with immediate fashion so that, you know, next year you get kind of some better matchups and some more interesting home field games for some teams. But just this whole college football playoff has me really energized. I'm really excited about college football
games. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun for the quarterfinals, including the Texas and Arizona State. But yeah, really interested to see how many people show up for that game.
Yeah, that'll be.
I mean, here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, will they sell it out? I don't know that they will.
Yeah.
I think some Texas fans are probably going to hold out for the semifinals.
Yeah, I think there will be plenty of Texas fans here, too. For me, it's really the Arizona State fans. Like, where are they?
Yeah,
all right.
Well, how many will show up?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you'll probably get 15,000
Arizona
State fans.
Yeah,
I'd say 15,000.
That's a lot of extra seats for Texas to make up for.
Yeah, I agree. And there's no local team here.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be interesting to see what kind of crowd they get for the Beach Bowl. It may be, and look, there may be just a ton. When I was young, we would go in Fulton County Stadium. My dad would always get me for Christmas tickets to the Beach Bowl, whoever was playing.
Right.
And
right.
We went to the Beach Bowl.
Nice. Yeah.
Iowa State versus NC State.
I like that. Yeah, you know, right. Exactly. Yeah.
We would
learn about the teams. Yeah.
We just go see a college football game. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, we go to the Beach Bowl.
Exactly.
All right. We are counting down to Michael Penix and his debut as an Atlanta Falcons quarterback. We'll get back into what it's going to take to win today for the Atlanta Falcons as they host a team that is really struggling, sort of like last week. Can you take advantage of the fact that this team needs to lose the team that you're playing against? Their fans don't want them to win this game. That's next on the Wait For It Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92 in the game.
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92 is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show on a football Sunday in Atlanta. John Fricke alongside our Falcons insider Joe Patrick taking you to the top of the hour where we will join the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson with the pregame show. Wes and Dave on the call inside Mercedes-Benz Falcons and the New York Football Giants, the Big Blue. We'll see how this guy. It is interesting. What It Takes to Win is brought to you by Motlick and Associates. When winning is everything, call Motlick Injury Attorneys at pound win. That's pound W-I-N. That's pound 946. It is interesting, Joe, that Giants fans really do want their team to lose this game.
Good for them. Well, let's hope that they, you know, pull through for their team, for their fans, you know. You want to see them please the fans with a nice fat L here.
Yeah, right, exactly. Because, you know, they're talking in New York about, you know, of course they're talking about replacing Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. Because New York football, NFL football, has been so bad for so long.
It's crazy.
You know, I mean,
like, is it like since Eli left, the Giants, they haven't really been good?
And the Jets haven't been good since Joe Namath.
Yeah. I mean,
geez. It's like the Jets were, I mean, they have a couple of years where they were like, okay, like,
right.
You know, but for the most part, the Jets have been a more of a franchise.
I think that they actually have the longest, or one of the longest, they're one of the few teams that have a longer playoff drought than the Falcons, let's put it that way.
Right. And so they're talking about Cam Ward up there. They're talking about Shur Sanders. They're talking about the next quarterback because the Giants desperately need a quarterback because they failed so miserably. This is when you draft the wrong quarterback, it kills your franchise. And the Giants drafted the wrong quarterback, and they paid Daniel Jones for some reason. When he was coming out of town, I was like, Daniel Jones is not that good.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't understand it then. I thought, well, maybe they see something that I don't. And it turns out, not that I'm a guru, but I said, wasn't it kind of patently obvious that this guy wasn't that good?
Right. But even more brutally than drafting the wrong quarterback is then giving that wrong quarterback an extension,
right.
Then losing, and then having an added opportunity cost by then not drafting a quarterback in a year like last year where you had this huge crop. They could have been the ones with Michael Penix,
right.
Or they could have, you know, traded up and potentially into that top three and gotten one of those guys who went. So, yeah, so talk about some mismanagement. And, yeah, obviously Joe Shane is probably not going to be there for too much longer, I would think.
Yeah, because the interesting thing is if the Falcons had not drafted Michael Penix last week in Vegas, they would have played against Michael Penix.
Right.
Because he would have been the Raiders quarterback.
Right.
Raiders really wanted Penix.
Yeah, that's right. It was kind of like, it was like the Falcons kind of stole him from them. And then, of course, how funny is it? Then they draft the UGA guy.
Right, with
their pick. But, kind of funny how that works out. But, yeah, you know, that's all these teams want a quarterback. And I don't really like a lot of these quarterbacks that are in this next draft. I could be totally wrong. But I think Cam Ward is probably the one that stands out the most to me.
Yeah, I'm not really high on any of these quarterbacks either. I would be interested to see if Cam Ward gets on the right team in the right system, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, but he strikes me a lot like Caleb Williams.
Right.
And, I mean, a guy putting up big numbers kind of like, you know, I mean, look, he's done it everywhere he's gone. You know, he did it at Immaculate Word. He did it at Washington State. He did it at Miami. So I'm having a hard time kind of wrapping my brain around whether or not Cam Ward is going to be. Is he just a great college quarterback, or is he going to be a great NFL quarterback? Shur Sanders, on the other hand, I think he's a great athlete. For my money, I don't know how. I understand even if you need a quarterback, if you've got the number one pick, how do you not take – isn't it patently obvious that Travis Hunter is a superstar?
Yeah. Right. Like, it's so tough.
To me, he's obviously the best player. Let's say that I'm the Giants and I have the number one pick.
Yeah.
I'm taking Travis Hunter. I'm calling the Falcons, hey, can I get Kirk Cousins for a year?
Right. Exactly.
Because I'm not passing on Travis Hunter.
Yeah. There should be a lot of teams out there that would, you know, in theory, want Kirk Cousins.
Right.
Now there's a whole other conversation to happen about Cousins and having this no-trade clause and how he might kind of hold that to his advantage over the Falcons and how the Falcons might be trying to, you know, hold certain leverage that they have in terms of the fact that they have Kirk under contract against Kirk to try to, you know, try to force through something that happens. That's going to be a whole other drama that takes place, but certainly you would think that there will be teams that would absolutely take a flyer on Kirk Cousins coming to be their quarterback, especially that, you know, they might be able to explain it to themselves like, hey, the Falcons got the bad year, basically the bad Kirk year, the year following the injury, especially an Achilles injury, where usually you start to see after like 18 months at least is when guys really start to turn a corner. So I could totally see myself seeing a team that can convince themselves that Kirk can come in and be their quarterback that leads them for a couple years.
Right, exactly. And if you again, I don't know how you pass on Travis Hunter. All right, for that matter, and it'll be this will be interesting going back to the college football playoff, especially against a team like Penn State. Does Ashton Jenny blow up into the kind of guy that you would say, there's a running back that's Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Bijan worthy of being a top five pick?
Right, yeah.
Because I think he is.
Yeah, I think he is too. And I think that for him, it'll be interesting to see. I'm interested to see if there's any teams that are contending right now who would actually mortgage a little bit of the future to trade up to try to get a player like him to come in and like really assert themselves as a force. Like, I'm thinking about, like, I always mention the Chiefs here, but just because I feel like they're a team that is kind of primed to, because they've got their quarterback situation locked down, they've drafted so well, to, you know, potentially trade some future draft picks to really go come up and get one of these premier offensive weapons on a rookie contract that they can have paired up with Mahomes for the next 5 years. Imagine that team with Ginty, like a top caliber, a Derrick Henry type running back. We saw how the Ravens have been elevated by bringing in Derrick Henry himself into
that
team.
Well, how about that for new life? What do you
have?
Oh, my
gosh.
162?
He's incredible. Derrick Henry is like a freak of nature.
I think we almost underrate how great he is in terms of all-time great NFL
Ravens. Absolutely, absolutely. He should be in there with the all-time greats. Absolutely, 100%. He does it in such a different way. I feel like it's not as flashy because he's just more of like a straight line
runner.
Well,
plus he played in Nashville.
That definitely hurts him. That definitely hurts him just in terms of his broader popularity. But what's so impressive about him is like you look at him and you understand that he's a powerful back, that he's going to be able to run over guys, but when he's in the open field, he runs away from every single player on the field. Like, he's the fastest player, straight line speed, that they're one of the fastest that it seems like there is in the NFL.
Right.
It's just incredible what he is as a player and a consummate professional as well. I know from having talked to Arthur Smith, he was, you know, one of Arthur's favorites when Arthur was there in Tennessee, just work as a guy who comes in day out, day in with that kind of lunch pail attitude. No ego on the guy, just a humble,
hard worker. Well, the Titans have not been the same since.
No doubt about it. Yeah, it's really taken away from their whole identity. You know, like when they lost Derrick Henry, they lost the identity of that football team and what they were.
Yeah, so it just it will be interesting because the Giants are in a position now where I think they really do want to lose the game.
Yeah.
Because they need – and it's not necessarily just about that number one pick or, in theory, about the quarterback. Look, if they're in love with Cam Ward and they have the number one or two pick, they'll take Cam Ward. I get that. I'm not sold on Shedeur Sanders as an NFL quarterback. He strikes me as being Kyler Murray. I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure I don't think he's Lamar Jackson. I just don't. I think Lamar's a different animal because not only is he athletic in that regard, I think Lamar Jackson has tremendous vision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tremendous vision.
Yeah.
And you just, he's got certain quarterbacks have vision, they see things. And his vision is so good. And it's, by the way, his touch. Do people don't talk about the fact that he's got arm strength, but his touch, you know.
Yeah, he lays it in there.
He lays
so nice.
It in there so nice.
So catchable balls.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally agree. And I agree. Like, he's got vision to throw, but he also has vision to, like, see running lanes and where he can take off.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. His whole vision.
Yeah, his whole,
he
like,
sees the field.
His spatial awareness of the field and where all the players are around him. Yeah, yeah. And I think that Jaden Daniels has something similar. And it's like these guys, both he and Lamar, are very decisive in terms of, like, I'm dropping back. I'm trying to deliver it from the pocket. If it's not there for me, I am decisively tucking this ball, and I'm becoming a running back, basically, and I'm running the ball and running it with that kind of mentality, as opposed to, you know, this kind of, it's kind of based off of this Patrick Mahomes archetype, but we see Caleb Williams just trying to do the play extending thing, and that is really nice sometimes. Even in the NFL, sometimes we've seen Caleb Williams do some nice play extension, have a nice throw at the end of it. But to me, that feels like an unsustainable way to go about playing the quarterback position. And ultimately, you do have to deliver the ball from the pocket on a regular basis. And to me, that's the big question mark that I also have about Shedeur Sanders. Not that he can't do it, but we were talking about this off-air about some of the question marks, frankly, about Michael Penix coming into this game is how well will he be able to deliver the ball when the pocket gets kind of messy, because when, at Washington, he had such a great offensive line. When I've watched Colorado, when I've watched Shedeur Sanders, he typically, if he's not doing the play-extending thing, he's kind of just sitting in that pocket with a lot of time to throw and deliver the ball to, like we were talking about, the best player in college football, the guy who is the most talented player in this draft.
So let's go back to Penix here. Do you expect that Zach Robinson dumbs down the playbook a little bit this week, maybe for the first 3 weeks, to the degree that we talk about him taking shots downfield, off play action, on a rollout, but that really most of what he's going to be throwing are going to be relatively safe, short throws?
Yeah.
quick out of his hand, safe short throws, a lot to Bijan, you know, a lot of dump downs, maybe some wide receiver screens. I mean, quick short throws, move the ball down the field, let him get out on the edge, see what he can do, either keep it, tuck it, run it, throw it, but not, we'll see a couple of shots, but not all, it's not going to be just drop back and hurl it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, when I talked to Raheem Morris, when he hired Zach Robinson, I asked Raheem, you know, what stands out about Zach Robinson? What makes him, why was he basically, you know, the one you wanted? And, you know, he said the thing about Zach is no one is better at preparing a quarterback to play. And that was evidenced like maybe most by when the famous story of the Rams signing Baker Mayfield on like a Wednesday and him mm-hmm. going out there and, right. and with like a day of practice or whatever and going out and playing great and whatnot, leading them on a...
Zach was a good quarterback in his own right.
He
in
was,
college.
Yeah, in college he was. And so I have confidence that Zach is going to be able to come up with a plan for Penix in this game that allows Penix to kind of play free, play well. And I think that that's based on, yeah, a lot of simple reads, half-field reads, mm-hmm. Throwing it to the boundary, not so much trying to force it over these, like, intermediate, between-the-numbers types of throws. Not that they don't want to see that over time, but I think that just for these, when he's getting his feet wet, keeping with what he's comfortable with. I do maybe, just hearing you talk, I may think that he might try to push the ball downfield a little bit more. Because I do think that that could still be a simple read. Like, you can run all four verts. And you could still basically, it's like one read between either of the seams. Which one are you going to try to gun that thing into? And so I think that that is something that he's comfortable with. You want to.
Yeah, but I don't see him doing it from the pocket, I guess is my point.
I think he could.
Because I with this pass rush here, if Burns is playing.
Maybe not. The pass rush.
At Kayvon Thibodeau.
That's a great point.
I just don't think you're going to have time.
Point taken there. That's a great point. But I think that they want to do that.
Zach Robinson was saying we want to activate
these, you know, the attributes that he brings to the table. And clearly what he brings to the table is an ability to hit some of those deep balls. That's what he was known for.
Well, I think, but to me, the first attribute is his ability to get outside the pocket and make those linebackers freeze as to whether or not he's going to try and beat them. Because his legs, again, this guy was primarily first, almost a run-first quarterback, a Michael Vick run-first kind of quarterback at Indiana before he went to Washington and became. So he has that in him.
Yeah.
I mean, he ran for like 200 yards in an upset of Penn State where he carried the team by himself and a not-good Indiana team.
Yeah.
Ask Penn State about that game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with that, but I'm just thinking, like, the reason why the Falcons decided to draft him eighth was because of how he threw the ball in that cold, windy weather in that pro, you know, on that private workout.
Of course.
And so that's what they see in him. But I definitely think that one of the reasons you make this move away from Kirk Cousins to Michael Penix is because he does give you that margin for error when your pass protection isn't perfect, when things break down a little bit. He will be able to at least create those margins for himself to make plays, whether that's actually getting out of the pocket or shifting around in the pocket a little bit. He's got some of that dynamic ability to his game.
Yeah, and I think you have to kind of put him in a, you know, it's not just a comfort zone. Look, it's almost too easy, Joe, to say, all right, we've got to get him, you know, comfortable throws, get him comfortable early in the game. Obviously, we all understand that. But at the same time, maybe that comfort is, you know, you run Bijan to the right side and try and, you know, establish something on first down, and then you run play action. He boots, and then suddenly on the second play of the game, he's launching it for Mooney or somebody, you know, running a seam route. You know, I mean, running a post route. You know, I mean, go ahead and let him. The comfortable is just let it fly, even if it's incomplete. Okay. Now you've extended out.
And he was never like a high completion percentage guy, I think, for a lot of different reasons. But that's one of the things. Like if you're going to take deep shots, like just you're not going to hit as many of those, just generally speaking. So I don't think he comes out of this game with a super high completion percentage, actually. But I do think that he will have pretty high, like, you know, average net yards per attempt and those kinds of things. I think they'll be pushing it downfield.
So, it's what we're going to talk about when we continue in just a moment. As we count down to kickoff of Michael Penix's debut as a starting quarterback, what kind of numbers do we expect from this quarterback today as the Falcons are in, and this is the other thing to keep in mind, a must-win situation.
Must-win.
Against the New York Giants today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Fans starting to warm up just a little bit. I mean, warm-ups are relative term, but it's warmer than it was when we first showed up. And the tailgate is on, nonetheless, here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Go! Let's break it!
More
Ford. Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show on a Falcons football Sunday. Just talked to my daughter, Danny, who is manager of major events over there at the backyard. She says, Joe, in the break, she's texting me, hey, because the stadium is blocking the wind.
Oh, right.
So she's down in that backyard. She goes, oh, the sun's out. It's warm over
beautiful
here.
Beautiful over there.
We're in the shade.
Great. It's like she's rubbing it in your face, John.
Yeah. And the wind, breezy. And
yeah.
Okay, well, this is fine. Statistics today for this game. The only stat that matters for Michael Penix, the only stat, is 1-0. That's the only stat that matters, is 1-0. But having said that, statistically, what do you expect to see? Because I think some fans, you know, when the move was made, Joe Patrick, they said, oh, it's going to be 500 yards and 5 touchdowns. It's going to be a scoring
yeah.
explosion. I'm like, okay, like, slow your roll here.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you consider a successful, presuming they win the game, of course, that's the first thing, but a successful statistical debut?
Statistically, I mean, I think you probably want to see him throw for over 230 yards. And I think, honestly, no turnovers would be great. Like, one turnover, I think, is acceptable for a rookie. If he's like if he has more than that, then it's like, okay, well, what are we, you know, it's kind of the same old story we've been dealing with. This isn't really helping us much. So I think the turnovers, for me, is what I'm going to be focused in more than, like, the yardage really doesn't matter. The completion percentage doesn't
couple
matter
of
a
touchdowns.
Whole lot. But, yeah, you want to see them, you want to see them scoring the ball, obviously. I think where it is going to be toughest for Michael Penix in this offense is if and when they get down in some of those red zone situations where, you know, those are just the toughest areas to score anyway. And, you know, for
especially
rookie,
for the Falcons.
Right, exactly. And so for a rookie quarterback, you know, it's going to be even tougher.
All right, so let me give you some over-unders. Over-under 1.5 touchdown passes.
Over.
Over-under 1.5 runs for first down by him.
I'm going to say under. I'm going to say under. I think we have just different opinion about what he will actually do with his life.
I actually think it might be 3.
Okay.
And the reason is I think one of them would be a sneak.
Okay. Yeah, that could be. That could definitely be.
You know,
that could definitely
quick snap
yeah.
it go.
Yeah.
Because he's a big, strong guy.
More willing to just sneak it with him.
Right.
You know.
So I'll go with, like, I think he's going to be effective in moving the
fair
chains
enough.
With his feet.
Yeah.
You know, more
yeah.
so than Kirk Cousins could have ever hoped.
For sure. Maybe I don't expect it because I just haven't actually seen it in so long that I, like, it's hard to imagine in my mind's eye. You know, John, something we didn't talk about, I should have mentioned this in the injury report segment, is the fact that this team is not going to be with Young Wiku today or for the rest of the season.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that, right. And now you get the
– he's not technically on the injury report because he's on injured reserve. But, yeah, Riley Patterson will be this team's kicker today, and it will be interesting to see how that affects the game management from Raheem Morris, because that has been – kind of sketchy, I would say, over these last couple games, with really since Kuz's been dealing with this right hip injury, which is what he's down for.
Well, you know, I mean, you kind of blame a little bit. I still think it's more on Kirk, but a little bit of what happened in the swamp on him. Missed 100%, three field goals,
100%.
Right? And then you almost lost the game because of him last week.
Yeah, yeah. And they clearly were not willing to kick from some, you know, deeper distances. And it'll be interesting to see where Riley, like with Riley Patterson, will they just right away off the bat, if they have a chance for a 56-yarder, will they, you know, be running him out there to kick it? I kind of hope so because I put him in my fantasy lineup. But regardless, you know, we'll just hope he makes him whenever he goes out there. That will help this Falcons team, no doubt.
Well, I think it's got to be an upgrade because Koo has not been himself. I still hope he comes back. He gets healthy. He's a kicker next year. But he has not been Young Wiku this year.
Yeah, it's been tough to see.
And by the way, for those who don't know him, he is such a nice guy.
So nice. So nice. He opened up to me this season about just like his kicking kind of process and why his kind of kick looks different than a lot of other kickers. You know, he has that very narrow
right.
run-up angle. He's more like square to the post than a lot of kickers are. And so, I appreciated him a ton when he was talking to me about that. But something I did pick up from that conversation we were having, John, is that he's definitely a tinkerer. Like, he's a golfer. And he did kind of compare the swings of a kick and to a golf swing, just in terms of the way that you're, like, you know, using torque and, like, kind of rotating the body and that kind of thing to make cleaner contact. And he talked about, you know, what you're looking for as the kicker is you're looking to perfect that 24-inch path of the foot, you know, that goes through the ball to be as consistent as possible.
Okay, we're getting it away.
And I know. I'm just saying.
Way too much to take.
Well, and exactly. And this is where I'm thinking. You wonder if he's, like, overthoughtless.
Right.
You know, because he says, he's like, I try to, like, basically reverse engineer it from that point. Having contact, clean contact, and reverse engineer everything else.
Yeah, that's the dude that plays golf swing, not golf.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
So,
right, okay.
Yeah.
So, well,
I've been there myself. Yes. I say. Yeah, been down the depths.
Here we go. That is another portion of this game today. What are you expecting in this game? The pass rush of the Giants, even without Dexter Lawrence, even without Azeez Ojulari, you still have Thibodeau. We expect Brian Burns. It is a rookie quarterback. What are you expecting in terms of how this game is going to go?
Well, I think the Falcons' pass rush is also going to get after it. And we've seen this pass rush step up here over these last three or four games. Really, since the bye, Jimmy Lake has said, you know, they've been able to reassess some things, kind of do some self-scouting and get that really going. And Arnold Ebikades leading the charge there has been great. Even D'Angelo Malone popped up with a couple sacks last week, although that was more just them down to them being in pass-only situations and him getting to pin his ears back. But, you know, I expect this Falcons defense to play well. It's obviously not like a top-tier quarterback they're going up against. I would say, though, that the one area of vulnerability they have would be Tyrone Tracy, I think, is a real player, this running back for the Giants, and a dynamic player who I think can hurt the Falcons. Kind of, I think he can make it annoying for this Falcons team. Ultimately, I don't see this Falcons team losing this game, so it's hard for me to see them like having too much success. But I do think that is something to watch out for on the defensive side of the ball. And on the offensive side, it's just, I mean, we were talking about it with Penix, but just trying to, you know, come up with a game plan that can manage him. But ultimately, you're also relying on Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier, who expect them to get a lot of work, just like they got against the Raiders on Monday.
This portion of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show is brought to you by Orchard. Sell your home, get paid twice. Learn how at orchard.com. Counting down to kickoff this afternoon, Falcons and Giants at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, live here on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
We're challenging everybody. If you're going to get out there and beat us, you're going to have to beat us, you know?
Back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Last couple of minutes for Joe and I, taking you to the network coverage. Top of the hour, Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson, network pregame show, Wes and Dave on the call, and, of course, Rob Tribble back on 929 with the Falcons flyover after the game. Hard by the W Sauce and the large line at the W Sauce, right now as we get ready for this game today. All right, Falcons and Giants, much discussed here, but the must-win nature of this.
Yeah.
Just to go back over it, if the Falcons do win this game, then you need the Eagles to beat the Commanders. That would set up next week in D.C. where it would be a de facto play-in game for the wild card.
Yep.
Or you need the Bucks to lose to the Cowboys tonight, which would, you know, that combination would put the Falcons back into first place and control their own destiny. They don't control their own destiny, but by 11:30 tonight, they may.
Yeah, yeah. And, we talk about these, you know, de facto play-in game or playoff game, frankly, next week against the Commanders. But really, all these games are playoff games for the Falcons. Like, the Falcons have to win out, basically. And unless something absolutely crazy happens, this team's got to win. And so they've got to win today. You know, this is a playoff game. Last week was a playoff game. So is this one. And you come in with a rookie quarterback. So many different dynamics going on with this Falcons team right now. But there is the possibility that if you put up a good performance, it could be the kind of thing that stabilizes you and perhaps gives you a boost going into these final few.
You know, it'll be interesting to find out, you know, because we can't look to the future, Joe, but, we'll see how it all plays out. This stadium is going to be hosting a Peach Bowl here with Texas and Arizona State and then a national title game. It's going to host FIFA and the World Cup. It's going to host Super Bowls, its Final Fours, and all the huge events. It has not hosted a Falcons playoff game.
No, it has not. That is amazing
MLS
in all the
Cup,
ways
MLS
we don't want to see.
Game, right, you name it,
right? Right.
Not a Falcons playoff
game. Yeah, yeah. And you know that the leaders of the organization at Arthur, at AMBSC want it so bad. You know, they want that premier. You know, they want those murals. That they want big glossy pictures up in that press box of Falcons playoff games in that stadium, which they don't have yet. So that's what they're all hoping for. And the best way to do that, or the only way to do that this year, is for the Bucks to lose. So we definitely need to be watching that one tonight.
Yeah, is this the beginning of an era? You know, I think that's one of the things that we are all kind of hoping for.
Right.
That Michael, that they, if they were wrong about Cousins and the $100 million, be right about that number 8 pick with Michael Penix.
Do we see something today that gives us that glint in our eye? Mm-hmm. You know, that makes us think and start dreaming. You know, because that's half the fun of being a sports fan, is the dreaming big part, and that's what we all want. Hopefully, Penix can help give us that.
All right, football Giants, football Falcons, football Sunday, and all that good stuff. We're going to join the network in just a moment here. Enjoy the game today, and, of course, we will be talking to you through the week here. Thank you, Joe. Thank you to Jersey Mike as we get down to the Falcons and Giants on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.